This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome. You're listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Stay tuned at the end of our broadcast for information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station for an uplifting gospel message.
Our sermon theme today is Walking Through Life with Jesus. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we pray that as we walk through this life, we may have the experience of having you by our side. God, we know that we need security. We know that we need direction. Certainly, we know that we need forgiveness, and we need your presence. So come, Lord Jesus, and speak to us through your word. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you will guide us and direct us until we find ourselves beneath the cross of Jesus. Hear our prayer that we ask in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends in Christ, it takes a lifetime to comprehend some of the great experiences of life. To help many of you understand the meaning of this statement, let's apply it to marriage. I was married in my last year at the seminary. Prior to this, I lived in a dormitory where I was free to come and go. And most of my decisions were made by my own self. I didn't have too much responsibility except for my studies to anyone. So it was a sort of a carefree life. But then the last year in my seminary training, I was married. It was a wonderful experience. But I have to admit, it was different. I had acquired a new friend, and life was different in so many different ways. As the weeks and the months went by, we soon began to understand that the two become one. When I was discouraged, she encouraged me. When I was wrong, she corrected me, lovingly but firmly. When I was insecure, she was assured. When I was attacked in some way, she defended me. She never lived just for herself. She lived to share with me. And it was my hope and prayer that she could say the same of my relationship with her. But in spite of all of the good things, there were some things that had to be adjusted. I had new responsibilities. I had to think beyond myself. I had to realize that the time schedule was not just mine. It was ours together. Things were difficult. So difficult when the spouse dies. Death or a dementia is very, very difficult. I live in a retirement center, as I've said to you often, and here we get a first-eye look at dementias. To me, they are some of the most horrible experiences of a marital relationship, primarily because the communication that deals with things in depth is pretty well gone. The spouse is not there in a way that he or she once was. It takes a lifetime to comprehend all that is happening when we live in the experience of marriage. And certainly that is also true when we live in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text today, which is recorded in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 13, tells us the story of two men who were walking 7 miles from Jerusalem to the town known as Emmaus. Cleopas was the name of one, and the other one goes unnamed. As they were walking along the way, they were talking about what had happened during those last 3 days. And then Jesus came along, though they did not recognize him. He asked them the question, what are you talking about? And they looked at him as if he were some foreigner who had come from nowhere. And they said, well, don't you know what happened? And Jesus asked, what things? And then they began to expound to him that a powerful prophet by the name of Jesus of Nazareth had been crucified. We had hoped, they said, that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But we have a glimmer of hope, and that is that on the third day, this day, early in the morning, some ladies went out to anoint his body, and it was gone. There was an angel or a young man, as some translations use it, who said to the ladies, come on in and look, see where they laid him. But he is not here. He's risen. He's gone. And he told me to tell you, and especially Peter, to go ahead of him into Galilee. He would meet you there. Now, that was a rumor that we had gotten a hold of from the disciples just before we started on our way to Emmaus. Hearing their words, Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Well, this discussion got very interesting. And they got into Emmaus before they knew it. And so they said, why don't you spend the night with us here? He accepted their invitation and came in and sat down. And after a while, they were going to have something to eat. And in verse 30 of this text, it says that while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks. And while he was doing that, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and disappeared, and he disappeared from their sight. There they were alone again. And then they asked, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So soon they returned to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11. They were anxious to tell them about their great experience, and from that day on, realizing that Jesus was alive and he could walk beside you through life, their lives were never the same. That is the greatest experience that a person will ever have, when he realizes that walking through life with him is the Lord Jesus, if he has chosen to have him as a part of their lives. The same experience can also be ours, friend. Ours in the sense as Jesus describes it to us in John 14. No, he's not going to sit in physical form with us at dinner some night, break bread. That's not the way that he has chosen to do it. But in John 14, we have an opening as to how God communicates his message to us. He says, all of this I have spoken while I am still with you. You see, for 3 years, these disciples had the great privilege of walking with Jesus, feeling, touching him, noticing how he dealt with people. But now the day was going to come that he would not only be crucified, but he would be ascending into heaven. After his resurrection, there they would stand on the mountain and see him as he returned to his Father. But he left his message behind. He says in John 14, but when I'm gone, then the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Notice Jesus is saying, I will speak to you through my word. Now on another occasion he says, if you will abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So here's your picture. You have a Bible in your home. You read it daily. You saturate it with your whole being. You memorize some of these scriptures. And then at the proper time, when you need a word from the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit will dip down into that word that has been stored up in your mind and in your heart, and God will speak to you as directly as he did to those two men sitting at the table in Emmaus. And they said their hearts were burning with fire, and so are yours and mine when we realize that the Lord Jesus himself has spoken to us. And this is how we have this great experience of knowing that Jesus is alive, and it is the greatest experience we will ever have. We will never fully comprehend it until we get to heaven, but we do know this, that he walks with us and he speaks to us through his word, not in some hysterical, emotional way, but through his word. When he's got something to say to you, he says it to you through his word. Therefore, we need to be acquainted with that word so that the Holy Spirit can work through it and communicate that message in our hearts. Do you understand, friend, what it means to walk daily with Jesus? It is to let him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, talk to you through the Holy Scriptures. Now, who can fully explain Christ's presence with us? I certainly can't. I don't know of any teacher, great as they might be, who can. But Jesus Christ is speaking. What do we mean when we sing that great hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear? We are singing that praise to God, that he comes and we can cast our cares on him, for he has become a tremendous friend. He's always there. He's big enough to go with you through any difficulty in life. He will never leave you. You can't say that of your spouse. He or she does not want to leave you. But sometimes they have to. And the day will come when it'll be necessary. But not Jesus. He's big enough to go with you through any difficulty. He will not leave you. Let me tell you the story about a good friend. He was telling me this himself the other day. Life had not been very easy for him of late. He lay in bed one night. His wife lay beside him. She was sick. She was a victim of Alzheimer's. Life was uncertain for him. How long could he keep her at home? He was growing older. His strength was not what it once was. And he said, I sat there, lay there with tension in my soul. And then this word came to me from the Lord. Now you see if this is not the same as with those people in Emmaus. They didn't know that it was Jesus. Perhaps my friend had not given it too much thought that he was right there by the bed with them. But then suddenly he recalled this passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then there was another word from the Bible, from 1 Peter, in the 5th chapter, where the Lord says, cast all of your cares on me. I care for you. And said my friend to me, you know, I meditated on this. God had spoken to me, and I was at peace. That's what it means to walk through life with Jesus. Christ is alive. Christ is not going to leave us alone. He will forgive us when we are to be forgiven. He will comfort us when we are upset. He will direct us when we are confused. He will strengthen us when we are weak. A friend, I know some of you may say, well, this is dreadfully unrealistic. It's not a sentimental. It's emotional. In fact, some may say it's irrational. Well, I don't know what more to say than just live with him and see. Spend a year with him in his word. Enter into a personal relationship with him. You can do that by simply asking him into your life. Is it unrealistic? Then St. Paul must have thought it was unrealistic when he was in Rome, in a dungeon and about ready to be killed, when he realized that these great words had come from his Savior. And they had put him, he had put them into the Scriptures, and Paul had penned them, and now he's recalling them. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Jesus was speaking to Paul in a dungeon. Who was counseling Luther at Wittenberg when he sat down and wrote that great hymn that we began our program with, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God? Wasn't it the Lord Jesus who used the 46th Psalm, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. And Luther says when he comments on that psalm, this is a psalm that fed my soul, and from that came that great hymn, a mighty fortress, what though they take this life? Goods, honor, child, and wife, their hatred still is vain, they have no lasting gain. We still possess the kingdom. What was happening to George Washington at Valley Forge when he laid down his rifle and bent in prayer and asked God to lead and guide him? What was happening in the soul of Clarence Thomas, one of the people of the Supreme Court? For when he was being confirmed, and he knew not which way to turn, but because he was being falsely accused by some that he was not worthy of the job, Thomas writes in his book, the more hopeless things appeared, and the more vulnerable I felt, the more I turned to God's comforting embrace, and over time my focus became primarily God-centered. The words of the Apostle Paul were never far from my mind. Quote, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Thomas knew that passage well. And because it was in his mind and in his heart, the Holy Spirit at that time did just exactly what Jesus said he would do. He dipped down and said to him, Clarence, listen, you're not strong enough. The tensions are great, but I am with you. I am with you. And that's what it means, my friend, to walk through life with Jesus. Oh, I pray that you will not walk through this life alone. Let Jesus walk with you. He waits to do just that. Let him into your life. Read the scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and see how different life will be. You will not be able to comprehend all of it until you see him face to face. Amen. Father, today, we pray in a very special way for those who feel alone. Perhaps the spouse has died, or the closest friend is no longer with you. Perhaps dementias or some other kind of illness has made it impossible for them to be the firm rock that once they were. Help them to know that you are more of a security than any human being can be. Fill their souls, O Lord, with the great truths that are revealed in your word, that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we are to fear no evil, for thou art with me. We pray that when we come to the end of our life, we may say that surely goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our lives, and now we are going to live in the house of the Lord forever. Hear our prayer. We pray, O Lord, that we may give thanks to you through a life that has lived out of love for you. All this we pray through the crucified but risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's sermon has given you a strong foundation for the week ahead. Did you know Christian Crusaders is supported entirely by you, the listener? That's why we appreciate your prayers and financial contributions. You can help us spread the gospel message by becoming a broadcast sponsor. A gift of $100 pays for 1 week's broadcast on the station to which you listen. Please address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter filled with articles to strengthen your faith and give you hope and healing. To receive this newsletter, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. To request copies of today's program in print, CD, or cassette, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. You have been listening to the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson with Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry, now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.